This week, Sherry and I continue a two-part series where we talk about the mental side and the psychological struggle and the impact on the family of my startup Drip being acquired. So if you haven't listened to part one, which was last week's episode, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that, because in this episode, we basically continue with that conversation and look at all elements that impacted me and my spouse and the family, and then where we're headed next.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
I think one of the low points for me was there was a moment when you were feeling really stressed out, and you kind of made this like giant scary statement, like, if I don't do such and such by August, I'm going to lose $1 million. And I just stopped and looked at you and was like, that is not true. Like, it's not true at all. And I realized at that moment that the stress of this experience had just gotten like so inflated that it was like kind of messing with your sense of reality. And that was one moment, and it was like the low point. But I think it was really representative of how hard this was, that there were so many moments where it felt like the world could fall apart. Our lives could fall apart. Maybe I'm being a little bit dramatic, but the stress sort of felt very dramatic every now and then, here and there.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even know what that even means. I seem to vaguely remember saying that in this cloud of stuff, but it doesn't even make sense in terms of the realities of things. So yeah, I was like, really, I must have really been out of it.
Do you remember that? I think you were talking about, like, we were having a conversation about whether we were going to fly or drive to Minnesota. And I was like, let's drive. We can, you know, see the Grand Canyon and Mount Rushmore and blah, blah, blah. And you were like, basically like, I can't, I have to work. Like, I need to get things done.
Oh, yeah.
You were being super dramatic.
That's in essence what it was. Right. So I was being dramatic of like, I'm going to lose $1 million, like throwing this thing out. Yeah. Instead of just saying, you know, I really can't do that. I mean, right. That's the logical thing is to say, you know, I can't take 2 or 3 weeks and drive. I just have to work, especially in this early period as we're transitioning and blah, blah, blah. And instead I just throw out this kind of drama is just the best way to describe that. Right.
Yeah. And it was like almost funny. And I remember just looking at you and being like, that's not true. And you looked sort of wounded and hurt and like you wanted to defend yourself and come back at me and explain how that was true. But you couldn't, because you knew it wasn't true and you knew that you were being very dramatic.
Stress does things to people, you know?
Indeed. So now the deal is finalized, and today is the 14th of July, and we are getting on a plane in 3 days to make our way to Minneapolis. And our car is there, our stuff is en route, our second car ships tomorrow, and the deal is done and it's finalized, and we're all in on this kind of next phase of this startup life adventure. We've obviously told the children they were the last to the table. We wanted things to be very final and clear before we told them. So I actually picked and rented a house. And then I told them after I could show them pictures of their new room and the lake that they will live near, and talk to them about their neighborhood and their schools, because I think that has helped them have a sense of what they're looking forward to. And I overhear them having these funny conversations about like whether or not the Trader Joe's in Minneapolis will have the mango lemonade that they like this summer, and whether or not there'll be good ice cream. And, you know, like they're sort of thinking about what life is going to be like and talking about it together.
Yeah. And I mean, just to chime in, like, we're moving to Minneapolis. Some of the Drip employees were given the option whether they wanted to or not. And, you know, some are, and some are, we are keeping an office open in Fresno, and some folks are staying there as well. So that's the cool part, is like, I'm now at the point where it's like really exciting to think about moving to a new city. And Minneapolis is a pretty sweet city. If you haven't been, you should go check it out. I mean, there's lakes within the city limits. Like, our house is a block from a lake. I mean, it's just a really neat, nice place to live. And I'm geared up and excited about, because we are good at adventures, right? That's something that our family does pretty well. And that's how I'm thinking about this. It's kind of starting a new chapter.
I have a list of activities that we're going to do and places that we're going to visit. And when we did visit, we got to spend an afternoon with Clay Collins from Lead Pages, and we had a lovely time together, and he was talking up the ice cream selection in Minneapolis. So we have a list of ice cream places to try, and there's some great museums and theater, and the kids are going to do a little summer camp at the children's theater. So there's just some cool things to look forward to. But one of the other low points for me was needing to close down my practice and saying goodbye to most of my patients and to my colleagues. And one of the things that got really complicated was that I have had two postdoctoral fellows who work under me. I'm their supervisor, and their jobs are tied to me, basically. So that has left a lot of upheaval, and one of them has to find a new position because there's only one other person who is able to supervise in our clinic, and he can only supervise one of them. It's a little bit technical, but that has been really hard, is kind of the way that this transition has kind of adversely affected other people, you know, the people that I care about and work with. So I think everything is going to be okay. And obviously in the long run, this is the right decision for Drip. It's the right decision for our family, but it's certainly not come without some pain. And I have not done as well as I thought I would, given that I'm the one who was like, yeah, let's move, let's go on an adventure, this will be great. The goodbye process has been harder for me emotionally and logistically than I thought it would be.
Yeah. And I think for me, since there was so much time and energy put into the deal, and selling the house was such a challenge. I mean, there were so many challenges going on, and so many of them have wrapped up. By the time it ended, I had to say goodbye to a few people. That's always bittersweet. But having come from such a low point may not be the right word, but just such a hard time, and to now be done with that, I feel just very excited, and everything's going up and to the right. But it has been hard to watch you deal with the transition, because you typically are much better at transitions, and you tend to get excited about new adventures. And so to see you be impacted as strongly as you have been, it says a lot. Like, it's an indicator of how hard this actually is for you to have said these goodbyes. And so to think about wrapping this up, there's so much that we learned from this process that in retrospect is helpful for us to think about and might be helpful for someone else to think about as they're entering into a similar process. One is that negotiation in general and this type of stressful time period is probably going to be hard on the founder, and it's going to be hard on the whole family. I think negotiating in specific is important to do well.
Yeah, I think it's another opportunity to be really good at the shifts between work and family life. Like, as much as you and I in particular like to have our work and home life somewhat integrated, I think once there's that level of negotiation and the tension and the stress that go into that, separating work and family life becomes much more important, and making those shifts between who you are at home and being like nice, generous, kind dad and husband, and who you are in the midst of the negotiation, which is like someone who's very, very careful and very attentive to details and needs to take a hard line sometimes. So that's one thing I kind of wish we'd done a little bit better, is having these more significant breaks between the work process and the family process. But, you know, that's not perfectly realistic in this scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I remember during this time thinking, how can we make this better? And the chaos that was going on with selling the house and the septic issues and moving across town versus moving to Minneapolis versus selling a company. I mean, it was like there was more going on in this 3-month period than perhaps we've had going on in 10 years. Like, it was nuts. And that was, I think if you can at all, I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast, that if you can take hard things and do them one at a time and space them out, that is the best way to do it. Because as soon as you have two or three or four that you're attacking at once, that's when it tanks you. And that's when you get decision fatigue, you get frustrated, you get stressed, and that's when things start coming apart.
I think the other part of that is that this is not a process that happens neatly in a like 9 to 5 time frame. You needed to have conversations with Clay when you and Clay could have conversations. And those ended up being in the evening. Sometimes they ended up being in the weekends. And it just didn't sort of neatly fit into this nice controllable, here's my work time and here's my family time. And again, that was stressful and difficult, but obviously sort of worth it and what was warranted in this case.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point you bring up, because a lot of us, especially if you're a bootstrap founder and you've gained control of your schedule where you maybe work during the week and you don't work on the weekends, you don't work evenings, whatever, wherever phase you're at, in something that's this challenging, it very well may wind up that you're going to need to kind of expand your working hours and your expectations. And that can have an impact both on the founder themselves, who's used to not doing that, who's used to not thinking about work on the weekends or in the evenings anymore, or it can certainly have an impact on the spouse or significant other. I think another thing I took away from this is, in terms of the negotiation, like, it is definitely good to be in a position where you don't have to sell. When you are running a profitable company and growth is happening, it feels great and it feels like you don't need to sell at all. But counterintuitively, that very well may be the best time to sell, because it's when you're in the best negotiating position. I guess that doesn't necessarily translate to kind of the entire family experience, but it is something that I took away from it. I think that's a good way to put it. I think options is kind of the emphasis there. It isn't like I'm some master negotiator or some person who knows how to pull these levers and do these things, but it just, I always knew that there was an option to keep going on the path that we were going, because both family life and business life and professional career were doing fine. And nothing was going to crash and burn if this deal didn't go through. Although the whole time it was something I wanted to happen, but it didn't have to happen. And I think that's probably a good position to be in if you find yourself thinking about this type of exit.
Yeah, I think you always felt like you had a lot of choice, which was important. I mean, this kind of process is really, really stressful. And I think all the more stressful if you feel like you're going into it with very limited options, or that this is something that you have to do. I think one of the things that I have reflected on throughout the course of this process is that it was definitely much harder on me than I thought it would be. In the context of this podcast, as well as the general organization of our lives, like, I'm generally very supportive of Rob and feel a lot of flexibility and freedom and kind of like, hey, do what you want to do. We'll make it work. I'll do whatever I can to support you. I feel very flexible and up for an adventure. And that has definitely been my stance on one level throughout the entirety of this process. But I think as embedded as I have become in my own career and in my own work in Fresno, it definitely became much more difficult to say goodbye and to pick up roots than I thought it would be, certainly at the outset of this conversation. And I mentioned briefly, but like, someone in my clinic has to find a new job because I'm not going to be there to supervise them. And many of my patients who have been long-term people who have significant trauma experiences, and it's been my role and my privilege and my responsibility to sort of take care of them as a psychologist. And so to shift all of that has been much, much harder than I thought. As I've said over and over, like, I think it's a good thing. I'm happy about the move. I'm happy for this part of Rob's life, but I think it's come at like significant sacrifice for me and for my career. And to be honest, I don't know that you fully like know that or have acknowledged that or have maybe appreciated that, and you don't need to or have to, but I guess it's just another place in which those of us who are involved in this kind of entrepreneurial journey, like, at least in this case, it feels like there's some really significant sacrifices that I made willingly, but have been very hard and painful nonetheless.
Yeah. And that's interesting, because that all comes out of moving, right? And that was like the one thing I didn't want to do. And that upfront you said, this is on the table, because there were other factors in play, and you love adventure and wanted to get out and explore other things.
Yeah. And that's really interesting, because there's the catch-22, really, because you'll say, oh, well, you wanted to do it this way. And then I feel like I don't get much compassion or support for how hard it has ended up being.
You don't tend to get hung up on emotional things. And that the fact that this had struck you so hard made me realize how much of a challenge it was for you. But I totally get it. It seems that you had stronger ties than either of us realized in the place where we were living.
I have really significant responsibilities. I also feel like for you, you're going to gain. Like your team is mostly going with you. Your team is going to grow. You're going to benefit from these relationships with Clay and with other people who can be people to bounce ideas off of and to learn from and to learn with. And I'm going to like empty space. Like, I don't know. And so a little bit of that excitement is tempered by the fact that like I have some ideas for what's next for me. But in general, I think I have more trepidation about my own professional future than you do at this point.
Well, sure. I mean, this is much similar to us moving down to LA for grad school or moving to Connecticut for postdoc where you had, or I guess it was internship, where you had stuff lined up. And I was wondering like, how is this going to look for me? And I totally get it. I'm not trying to compare it or say one-to-one. I did this for you, so you have to do this for me. But I do know how that feels to be moving into a place where it's like, wow, I don't know anyone. I'm going to have zero work colleagues because that's how Connecticut was, right? That's how LA was as well. Like I'm going to know no one and you're going to have a cohort of people. Right? You're gonna have your classmates or your other interns. So yeah, I understand. And we have two kids, right? So it makes it even more complicated. I mean, I guess it's an interesting conversation. Like, do you wish that it was different at this point?
I don't. I feel like one should reinvent oneself a few times before 40. So I have a couple more years before that deadline. No. In all honesty, I think it was time for us to leave Fresno, and I was very, very comfortable in my job, but I'm not sure that I was pushing myself or learning many new things. So it was time, but it's hard. It's good, but it's hard. And that's like the summary. That's all I can say about it. I don't regret it. I'm not afraid of it. At this point, I'm really excited, but it's hard. I'm also like really, really sad to leave the ocean, which sounds like shallow maybe, but I'm really sad to leave the ocean. That's become like my happy place and my home.
Yeah, you have a real link to that. I feel like a lot of times the right decision is the harder one. I do feel I didn't want to move. You and I were both comfortable where we were, but I know that it was very likely stunting both of our kind of personal growth and personal expansion of where we could be.
I think I'm a little fearful about what's ahead. I think I'm not sure how we're going to transition back into some sanity after the level of stress and anxiety that you've been under. I'm a little afraid that that's going to be the new status quo or the new normal.
What are you talking about? I'm totally lounging.
Yeah, okay.
last couple weeks have been
yeah,
different.
You chilled out a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. The electric chair is a little scary, sister. Like, hopefully I've been conveying this, but like, I can feel it. You know, I have enough kind of self-reflection at this point to look at myself and think, oh my gosh, you are a completely different person than I was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Better.
Don't say maybe. How about the kids? Are they more flexible than we thought?
You know, I think the kids are doing really well. So we've been like without a home for about 5 weeks now, and it'll be another 4 weeks before we're settled in our new house. And so they've lived with friends. They've lived in a dormitory. They're now in an apartment. We're getting ready to move in with friends in Minnesota for a couple of weeks. And then we're going to move into our new house while you're at MicroConf Europe. And I'm like handling the move.
That's going to be terrible. Yep.
So, but the kids are doing fine. Like we basically have a huge, like each of us has a suitcase, a small suitcase full of clothes and a backpack with like our computer and iPad and whatever, books and stuff. And then the boys have an extra duffel bag that's essentially full of Legos and art supplies and origami paper. And that's been key. Like they've actually been pretty define and all of these different environments because they have their like selected activities to go and have fun with.
I wish I had an entire bag full of Legos and art supplies. This is where you and I went wrong.
It's true.
Yeah, the kids have done well. In the past, one of our kids has had more struggles with the moving around. And it seems like whether it's age or whether we've just indoctrinated him into the chaos of this, things have been much, much easier this time around.
Yeah, I think they're doing fine. I think they're really excited, too. I think we've talked it up well.
You did a really good job of showing them the house and talking about where we're going and the cool things that are available for them there.
Yeah, I think everybody benefits from something to look forward to.
And so I guess to wrap us up, what's next for everybody? For you, it's consulting and a remote therapy practice.
Yeah, it's been interesting because I don't know if you can hear it in this larger conversation, but I've been feeling just a little bit worried or a little bit sad about not being totally sure what is going to be next for me. And just in the last week, I've had like 3 founders reach out and make connections with me about consulting, which is sort of the direction I would like to take, to do more consulting with founders and their families, and then to maintain a small, more traditional therapy practice that's a remote practice. And so it's been cool that, you know, a few people have reached out and sort of said, hey, we need you. We like you. We want to work with you, in a time when I'm really sort of questioning, like, what am I doing in the world? What is my calling or my job right now?
And so if you've listened to a few episodes and you feel like, you know, you're a founder or you're a founder's significant other or both, and you find that, you know, might need to talk through some of this stuff with someone like Sherry, who has experience dealing, obviously being married to a crazy founder who's lived a crazy founder life, as well as has a PhD in psychology and so has the professional experience to deal with this kind of thing, email sherry@sherrywalling.com and that'll go directly to Sherry, and you can sort out if this might be something, you know, Sherry offers packages where you can do 3 sessions at a time and longer if you need, but it isn't some big time commitment, and folks who have gone through this with her have gotten a lot of value out of it.
So what's next for you?
I gotta be honest, like I've been trying not to sugarcoat this as I've talked about it, but I'm genuinely really excited for the transition. I'm excited about Minneapolis. I know it's gonna be cold in the winter. You and I have done cold before in Boston and Connecticut. I'm excited to be part of the broader team at Lead Pages. So far, everybody I've met has been super cool, and I'm pretty interested to learn. I mean, there's a lot for me and my team to learn from the Lead Pages folks. They started within, I think it was maybe 6 months earlier than us, and they're a massive company. I mean, they had massive growth, and so their marketing channels and their marketing expertise are formidable. I mean, they are some of the best, probably the best in the space, and potentially in the B2B SaaS space at all at marketing. And so just excited and interested to learn, because that's a big part of what keeps me interested, right? Is learning new things and kind of connecting with interesting people. And so I think that's what's on my radar for the coming months.
I'm really excited about their swings. They have all these swings in their office and they're really cool swings.
Yep. And so we're going to swing in the office and drink cappuccino and Soylent.
So then green is people.
And then the family is all going to have a Minneapolis adventure, and there's going to be snow involved and snowmen and snow forts and snow fights. And I guarantee you our oldest son is going to build at least one of the snow scenes from Calvin and Hobbes.
He is quite a student of Calvin and Hobbes.
Yep. There will be photographs of that. Keep your eyes on Facebook, people. And then after that, it's living somewhere without state income tax. Is that right? You feel me? Yeah, that's a lesson.
How's Hawaii?
How's Hawaii? I don't know. I need to Google that. Because living in California and receiving a single chunk of money and then paying an enormous amount to the state just makes you feel like, you know, if I were smarter, then 3 months ago, we all would have moved to Washington State where there's 0% income tax.
Well, things to consider next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.